Thank you, everybody. We have a unanimous vote on approving action memorandum 20-11. So we're up to item number 11. I'm going to defer my little spiel to council member comments. I don't have anything for the mayor's report, so we'll go on to item 11-2, Mr. Howell's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I normally read directly out of my manager's report, but I think I wanted to spend most of my time here this evening just talking a little bit about some of the preparations that are ongoing within the city government and dealing with the COVID-19 virus. Just kind of push some information out there as to what the city's been doing so far in dealing with this crisis. So we're holding daily meetings right now with our administrative staff, our leadership team. We've drafted new procedures in the fire department for protecting our emergency responders. We have reviewed our emergency operations plan, updating any areas where we're finding deficiencies. We have attended a nationwide conference with the Trump administration regarding COVID-19. We followed all of the state and federal guidelines for our employees and our staff, as well as pushing out additional information to the public through our Facebook and our web pages. We have closed all of the City of Bethel's municipal buildings to protect both the public and our employees. And also, very unfortunately, had to close the pool. The clerk's office has issued additional guidance for meetings and in an effort to mitigate any danger to the attendees and also providing guidelines for safety during those meetings for cleaning and hand washing and things like this. The city has drafted a disaster declaration that was drafted over a week ago. We just today signed that disaster declaration. That will be adopted at a special council meeting tomorrow at 2 o'clock, or if the council approves it. We actually put a request in from the national stockpile and received national stockpile materials for our EMS and law enforcement personnel. And it's a rather substantial order of protective apparel we received, including gloves, gowns, and masks, several hundred of each of those items. We're attending all of our meetings with all of our partners in the city. I've issued a 5-page guidance to city employees on how to protect themselves and protect the public. We, of course, have adopted an emergency ordinance this evening, giving additional powers to the council and the manager to expedite purchases of necessary materials and supplies. And finally, we're currently working with YKHC to support their efforts to shelter and or quarantine individuals that may have been diagnosed with COVID-19 by providing access to the City of Bethel's emergency supplies, which include several hundred blankets and cots. And these are just a few of the things we've been doing, Mr. Mayor, on a daily basis. I have had to postpone most of the major objectives that I have before me, like budget, like the union negotiations. We're working daily with all of our partners and the citizens in Bethel, listening to their concerns. And I just wanted to encourage the public to remain calm, be patient. We have a very good team in charge and control here. I've also had opportunity to brief the incoming city manager fairly extensively on things that are going on. I feel everybody should be concerned. This is a very serious matter. The city is approaching it that way as well. But once again, urging folks to remain calm, be patient. We are listening to your suggestions and your thoughts, and they are important to us. And as we continue to address this pandemic, we just ask for your support and your thoughts as we're moving forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. I know that you and I have been talking quite a bit on a daily basis about what is the city's response to the virus. So I really appreciate the hard work and sometimes even after hours that you've been spending to assist with this whole event, so thank you from me. Any other questions for the acting city manager from the council?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Springer.
Yeah, thanks. Bill, great job, and, you know, I know, and the council knows, and the community knows, you've been on this from the beginning. Just a couple of things as far as telework in some of our departments goes. I'm kind of thinking that one reason we might want to begin that, at least on a small scale, is to just as a, you know, as exercise, proof of concept, bring the bugs out. So I'd like to encourage you to think about authorizing telework from that perspective, so we can make sure that the technology is working and people are able to, you know, access their desktops from home, and that, in fact, the work can get done. And then the other thing I'd like to raise is, with school being out now very early, parents are finding themselves with increased demand for water in their homes, especially if they're on the tank system. And that is, you know, the longer the kids are at home, the more water gets used, the quicker tanks go dry, so there's going to be demand for extra calls. I just kind of like to suggest that you and finance department maybe work out a couple of things, particularly I think we still have the rule where you're only allowed 2 delivery schedule changes a year. I think that's something that it would be worth to consider being waived, as well as I know that you're already considering abeyance for utility customers, but if there's some way that we can keep in mind the fact that we do have households that have gone from being, you know, 6 members through the weekend, and then the kids go to school for 8 hours a day, to 6 members 24/7. If we just kind of keep that in mind as an additional financial strain on our utility customers and residents. And I'm just tossing those 2 items up there for you as, you know, things to think about as you're deliberating with your, you know, with your staff. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Further comments from the council for Mr. Howell? Hearing none, let's go on over to. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mayor Barra, this is Michelle. I have a few questions.
Yes, Ms. DeWitt.
Okay. So one of the questions that I have, Bill, if you could speak to this, is instituting work from home policies for non-critical staff. Can you talk about how that's currently being executed at the city?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councilwoman DeWitt. Last week, or early last week, we identified, I asked all my department directors to identify all those employees that they would be able to identify as non-essential or non-critical for critical city services. Those lists were received and are in HR. I've also directed my IT department to begin preparation for telework. Those preparations were all completed last week. Right now, we are triaging this list to, first of all, address those employees that are in the higher risk of getting a severe illness, so those that are 65 and older, and those that have underlying medical conditions. And so we'll be looking very closely at those individuals this week and starting to release some of those individuals. I don't have a timeline for what complete telework in the city looks like. We do have quite a bit of leeway based under the most recent order from the governor, and there's an attachment A to that for critical infrastructure, critical employees. And believe it or not, most of the city employees do fall under those critical or essential employee roles. And so I suspect that the releases to telework in the city will be somewhat limited, but we are planning on, at the very least, protecting those individuals who have a higher risk, at least initially. And then we're going to be looking toward towards our partners in healthcare, YK, and others for further guidance on that. And, of course, to the State Division of Homeland Security. So it is it's a developing tactic that we plan to employ in the next few days. And once again, I want to reiterate just to the listening public and to the council that administration has followed or exceeded every single CDC guideline, every governor, State of Alaska Homeland Security guideline or mandate that's come out. We've met or exceeded that within minutes or hours at the very latest the day following these mandates. So just to assure the public, we're on top of this, we're looking at this, and we continue to follow all of these recommended guidelines that are coming forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Ms. DeWitt?
Yes, my next question is around the City of Bethel transportation system. And I'm curious if you could talk a bit about the plan the city has in place for its public transportation system in the context of this pandemic.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilwoman DeWitt. So our public transit system is still operational, albeit it is hobbled right now. We have one driver on sick leave and another driver that's unable to perform duties. So our evening schedule is impaired or has been stopped for this week. And I believe that's a 3:30 to 6:30. The protocols we're using in the bus, of course, include fairly significant and frequent cleanings and disinfecting of all the touchable surfaces in the bus. And these buses that we have that have a 12-person capacity have been limited to 6 people in those buses. So, and if you're sick or ill, they may refuse you service. And so that's how we're protecting the drivers at this time. I do not have anything back yet for you folks on what the cab system is going to look like. We'll be looking, and I've got my police chief setting up or trying to schedule meetings with members of that industry so that we can have a meeting and come up with some best practices there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Ms. DeWitt?
Some of the brainstorming that you've done with your public works department around bulking up the number of CDL drivers we have for hauled utilities, should the hauled utilities department start to receive requests for additional water that exceeds current capacity, or in the event that drivers are exposed or become ill? The second question that I have is around general sort of cleaning of city spaces and buildings with all the recommendations of high-touch surfaces being cleaned regularly. I was wondering how the city is approaching that. It made me realize I don't know much about, in general, sort of housekeeping or janitorial at city facilities, and now that's a major issue facing all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councilwoman DeWitt. I'll answer the question on the water sewer first and the one on cleaning last. So with water sewer in the last 10 days to 2 weeks leading up to this, we have been very aggressively recruiting for temporary drivers. I believe that we're currently offering $35 an hour for temporary drivers. If we don't get interest or applications for that, we'll increase that amount. So that is the first phase. As you're well aware, we've been very strong on recruiting, working with our partners, working with the job service, Ute, to recruit drivers and to train drivers. We currently have two, if not three, drivers that are currently in our training system. Despite that, we're still short about 3 to 4 drivers. If we were to lose more than 3 or 4 more drivers, it's hard to fathom what we would have to do to kind of maintain a continuity of service at the current level. And so some of the brainstorming we've done is to
your request will be answered by the next available operator.
Excuse me.
To cancel your request, press *0.
We've had a electronics issue here. Yeah, Lori's going to resolve real quick.
I could have done that.
Okay. And so there is the very, very far outside possibility in my opinion that we could possibly get into a situation where we would have to reduce the amount of services. We're hoping to never have to do that based on the incredibly aggressive recruiting we're doing. And also, as a last resort, we could talk to the State of Alaska Division of Homeland Security and ask them to help us find CDL drivers. But I'm nowhere near that point, and that's that. As far as cleaning is concerned, it seems with the heightened awareness, you can't find a moment during the day where Lori or myself or one of the other city employees don't have a handful of Clorox wipes and aren't running around the building cleaning door handles and surfaces. And so part of that 5-page mandate that I did put out did direct city employees to more frequently clean. This includes administration. This includes fire and EMS, police, public works. All of the employees of the city have been provided with disinfecting wipes or something similar that performs similarly, and they've been directed to frequently clean surfaces, personal protective equipment, themselves, and so we feel like this is a fairly good approach. The courthouse recently doubled their cleaning service, I think just ironically enough, right before this incident happened. And I don't know if they've taken additional members, as that is a state building at this point, from the standpoint of the occupancy. I have nothing further, Mr. Mayor. I'm looking forward to any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Ms. DeWitt?
No more questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Do I have any other questions for the city manager from the remainder of the council?
Councilwoman Leary. I was just wondering if there's employees that can't, it's been determined that they cannot telework, I guess I would just strongly encourage that, the remaining employees that do have to stay at the city offices or, city buildings, that we're allowing them to move their workstations if necessary, or making arrangements so that the social distancing mandates are being followed. And I would also, I don't know what we could do to meet offline about this, I guess, but to see if we can increase our cleaning services rather than just having, leaning on all our staff to make sure to make them have to clean all the areas that maybe it's not even being done the way it should be, that if we can increase our services with the contract housekeeping services we have currently. That's all. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Councilwoman Leary, we are maintaining some pretty flexible work environment for those employees who need extra accommodations or want to move their work areas. I have one employee that just simply keeps their door locked during the day, and we've approved that. I have other employees that to avoid using cabs and public transportation, has requested to use a take-home vehicle. We approve that. So we are making the adjustments as they present themselves and taking those opportunities to help and protect those employees whenever they arise. And we plan to continue doing that up to and including flexibility and sick leave for folks that have sick kids. The current guidance that I've given out to the department heads is that for employees that are ill, we're not requiring doctor's notes if illness is exceeding 3 days and it appears to be related to some kind of a respiratory illness. So we really do have some nice solutions queued up. Department heads have been trained and have had discussions about this with me. And we are optimistic that we'll be able to bring the city through this in one piece. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Ms. Leary, do you have any other questions for Mr. Howell?
No, thank you. Not at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Any other questions for the acting city manager from council? Thank you, Mr. Howell, for that report. We'll move on to item 11.3, which is the clerk's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My office has been working very closely with the attorney, with the mayor, and the administrative staff on the city's response to COVID-19. But I think most importantly, coming from my office, is the public meeting and the opportunity to maintain an open public process for our council, for our boards and commissions, and for the public. And I wanted to explain to the public that there are some legal issues with having a full teleconference meeting, but we are and able to do that at one point. But at this point in time, we have made the decision to allow for telephonic communication by the council and the board members, and then to minimize the space in council chambers where the public meetings are held to 10, and then providing those that have a health issue that prevents them from being in public spaces to obtain a teleconference line. Fortunately for the regular city council meetings, KYUK is able to broadcast those meetings. We are looking at, thank you, CC Franco, for the recommendation of Zoom meetings or maybe Facebook Live. We do have limitations in the council chambers with regard to internet connectivity, but I want to assure the public that we will do our very, very best to maintain public interaction and communication with our public meetings while still being accessible to our public officials. And to reach out to me if you have suggestions or comments on how we're handling public meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Any questions for our city clerk? Hearing none, thank you. We'll move on to item number 12, which is city council comments. I'm gonna go first. I just wanna say a couple things. So as I watch and I listen to our people within this community, I'm reminded of the many people involved in the response to this outbreak. Our healthcare providers, the doctors, nurses, medical assistants, technicians, our first responders, the firemen, law enforcement, dispatchers, our correctional facilities, and the people they house and protect. Our pilots with support staff ensuring delivery of goods and medical equipment. Our grocery stores and its clerks and stock people. Our clergy administering to the needs of people at home, our people who continue to provide delivery of food, our school system, which is delivering school homework and food to those students, our facilities that provide services to elders, those pregnant, and including those that need of shelter. These are the people that we should be mindful of, the ones who are possibly the most at risk of contracting this pandemic, this virus. So what should we be doing about it? We should not only be thinking of ourselves, but of them and their families, our families, elders, and loved ones. How can we stop this virus if we don't heed the advice of leaders and government? Over 1,000 tests have been administered in the state of Alaska as of yesterday. According to Governor Dunleavy, it takes 5 to 6 days for results to come back, up to 14 days for the virus to actually manifest itself. Well, you could be spreading the virus if you're not listening to the strong advice of our leaders. We probably have it walking amongst us. We probably have the virus here today within Bethel. That is the reason why this virus could be exploding within our midst. YKHC has hospital beds available and ready in most areas of the hospital, including the hallways and lobby areas. LKSD is preparing 2 gymnasiums at the schools locally here in Bethel in preparation for the possible onslaught of these cases. We need to get serious about this. We need to really understand and take note of the advice that everybody is throwing at us. Steps are also being taken. The drive-through testing tomorrow for the COVID-19 is between 8 o'clock and 10 a.m. at YKHC, but you are required to make an appointment prior to that drive-through testing that will be done over at the Heart Hospital parking lot. Work at home is strongly encouraged for those that are non-essential. Stay at home and hunker down. Practice social distancing. Don't touch your face. No groups larger than 10. And just as a reminder, most businesses are shut down, and most of them are not voluntarily shut down. So we need to realize that they are experiencing a fiscal crisis at this time. Go outside and enjoy the outdoors with your families. What a great time to be out during the spring. And lastly, the city will be maintaining its website and Facebook page to deliver important updates as received by the state, CDC, and the U.S. government. Keep safe, prepare, and prepared as we go through this trying time together. I think this is really important to understand that these times are unprecedented. We have never experienced this type of thing within our lifetime. Maybe very, very, very few have, if they are over 100 years old. But this is unprecedented for all of us, and it's really a dangerous time. So hunker down and stay safe. That's all the comments from me. And I'd like to call on to let's go with Mr. Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for your comments there. You did not use an understated word, not a one of them. Every word you used was perfectly accurate. Nobody should consider that this is anything more than a life or death situation for our community and for the communities around us. Some of the reports that are coming out from around the country that aren't necessarily making the news are pretty scary. We have large metropolitan areas that are fast becoming their healthcare systems are fast becoming overwhelmed. I want to say that as an elected official myself, I just want to call out some of the unconscionable statements and plans even that President Trump has been offering. If he thinks that he can push in the clutch and turn the key and start the economy in 15 days, he is signing a death warrant for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in this country. Now is the time. We were talking about water. You know, we have a lot of households in this town that actively conserve water, that take a shower with the drain plug closed to get the tub full of water that they use for flushing their toilets. You know, there are also people, households in this town, that when they get, you know, a quarter low or a lower in their tank before their delivery day, they get on the phone and ask for an extra call. So please, 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 let's be fair to everybody. Watch your water use. Conserve your water. Keep a couple of 5-gallon buckets full of snow to melt or bath water to use for flushing your toilets. Save the water that's in your tank for your potable water, for your drinking water. Along with that, Northern Lights Water, if you have empty bottles, please take them over there to them. I was over there getting water last week, and his shelves were pretty empty. So if you have got any empty bottles, take them over there so he can get them cleaned and refilled, because you know, that water is a very popular product here in town. If you have the ability to stay home, stay home. Keep the social contact down to an absolute bare minimum. Some of us are still working, and most of the office workplaces in town are being very active on social distancing, on protecting their employees. That's extremely important. Listen to what Dr. Zinke from the state says. Listen to what YKC says. We have to keep that curve flattened. This is not going to be over in 15 days. It's not going to be over in 2 months. Everybody who knows anything about virology and epidemiology that has been looking at this says it could be many, many months before this virus has, you know, run its course, if it's going to run its course, around the world and in the United States in particular. The rate of deaths in Italy does not seem to be going down to in a particularly great amount. They're still in terrible crisis there, you know, as is Iran. England, the government there can't figure out what to do, and it seems like our government can't figure out what to do. There are some very bright spots. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the general in charge of the Corps of Engineers, was at a press conference yesterday at the Pentagon where he held up a sheet of papers and said, these are standard blueprints, standard design for converting any hotel in the United States into a hospital in a very, very short period of time. He said, we can do that, and the FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Administration, has got the equipment list for every hospital room that the Corps can build. And remember, the Corps of Engineers are the same folks that built the Pentagon in a real short period of time and also ran the Manhattan Project. So if they decide to do something, they're gonna get her done. So social distancing, protect our elders, protect your elders. They are our treasures, and they are really our very most vulnerable. Don't go to the stores during elder shopping time, or if you have an elder in your family or one that you know, if you can help them, go shopping for them. Go pay bills for them. Don't let them out of their homes, not because you want to keep them locked up, but because you love them, and make sure they understand that. And we also have to protect the villages. I think probably air travel is slimming down. A lot of villages have stepped up and said, you know, if you come here, even if you're a resident, if you're coming from out of town, you're going to have to self-quarantine. But, you know, I know folks that have come from the lower 48 recently, come from the lower 48 and gone to their home villages and may or may not be being diligent. So if you have any influence with people that, you know, have come through or are planning on coming through, encourage them to do the right thing and protect their communities, protect our communities, protect our people. We have to flatten the curve. And it's really just, I'll finish up. Flatten the curve means we know people are going to get sick. We know people are going to get very sick. We know people are going to have to be in the hospital. But rather than have it be a big wildfire spike that will completely overwhelm, in our case, YKHC, we want it to be slow and steady, because in this case, the tortoise and the hare, slow and steady is going to win the race. It's going to cost. It's going to hurt. It's going to be, in some cases, it's going to be terrible. But we have to keep the number of severe cases as low as possible so that here in Bethel, here in the region, here in the state, we are able to come through at the other end, whenever it is, bloodied but not beaten. God bless you all, and stay healthy. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Let's move on over to Vice Mayor Hansen.
All right, so I just wanted to follow up on that and then move into some details about what LKSD is doing while schools are closed. One thing I just want to throw out there is that I think there's kind of been this misconception about that it mostly affects older people, people above 60 and that. But I think the scariest thing that I've discovered through my reading and hearing about this virus is that you don't really know how it's going to affect any individual, whatever their age is. And people have underlying conditions that they may or may not know about, and that can exacerbate the virus in them. And all of a sudden, you have a perfectly healthy 21-year-old who's in critical condition in the hospital. And so I think it makes it even more important, if you want to put it that way, to make sure you're not in contact with anyone. You're not invincible. You know, I'm 30 and have a lot of young friends, and I think we can kind of be, think that we're kind of in the healthy bracket, and that may not be the case. So just keeping that in mind and utilizing Facebook, texting, video messaging, whatever it is, to keep in contact with your friends and that so you don't go crazy, but not being in physical contact or within 6 feet of them. Okay, so now I just want to say that there are a few things going on up at the with the schools when it has to do with delivering work and also meals. And so I'm sure most people know about this. Most parents and guardians have received messaging through their phones, through their emails, but I just wanted to make it clear in case people still didn't know that every Monday we have buses that are loaded up with student-labeled envelopes that have their work from their teachers in them. And every Monday they're distributed at bus stops. And this schedule was put out over Facebook through a Lower Kuskokwim School District. I believe KYUK even posted it. And you're always free to call your student school's front office to find out the logistics on what time these buses will be at each stop on Mondays. And then they will also be picking up work each Monday and then trading out for the new work, if that makes sense. And then also every day during the Monday through Friday normally scheduled school days, the Meals on Wheels program, where students can show up to the bus stop to receive two meals per school day, that's still being carried out. And that schedule can also be found on the Lower Kuskokwim School District Facebook page or by calling your student school. I think my last announcement is that tomorrow, which is March 25th, from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., students who have items in the boys and girls locker rooms up at the high school and or in the band room can come and collect their belongings. They'll be using the gym side doors to let students in one at a time. We ask if they dress appropriately. I don't know if it's going to be raining tomorrow or what. And also to practice social distancing of at least 6 feet. Let's see. I think that's what I have. I just want to thank, of course, maybe I'm biased, but I just want to thank people up at the schools and in the school district who are still carrying out these programs to ensure that students are fed and also are receiving educational services. I know it's not ideal, but we're trying to reach as many students as possible, especially those who do not have access to internet. I want to thank GCI for expanding those services to families. Unfortunately, maybe not all families will take advantage of it, so we are still trying to do our best to make sure they're getting the education they deserve and are being fed and empowered to be able to do that. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Ms. Leary?
Thank you. I just want to start by thanking the people of Bethel for taking this public health emergency seriously and demanding action to protect the people of our region. I know I can speak for myself. I think on this I can speak for the rest of the council that we are all taking this very seriously and making sure we're exercising our powers within our, you know, within legal restrictions. I also wanted to mention that I'm sure a lot of people heard or saw today, but YKHC released information this morning that there were 20 Bethel residents tested and received negative test results so far. So that was kind of, you know, good to hear that there had been testing started, folks that, you know, believe they had symptoms and the, you know, providers believe they have, you know, that there's testing going on so we can start surveilling. I feel better when I know we've got a little bit of numbers behind, you know, knowing whether or not it's here, even though it very well likely is. But we've got to have surveillance. And I just wanted to mention, you know, YKHC is kind of leading up the efforts for Bethel with this being a public health crisis. You know, keep an eye on the website. A lot of this stuff, I think most of it does get put on Facebook, but the website, they've got lots of guidance up on there. And a lot of things I think are on there that people might have questions about, as, you know, in regards with staff travel. And there's a really good document that my office worked on with some disinfection guidance for using bleach. Since I know a lot of households typically have bleach anyways, we put some guidance up for making dilutions with it. You know, if you're making the dilutions the right way, it can last a little longer maybe, or then you know you've got the right concentration to, you know, be effective against the COVID-19 virus on surfaces. And we've also got some guidance to use bleach solutions for disinfecting your hands as well. When kind of some of this stuff is necessary with there being such short supplies in some stores and in households, and you know, everyone can't always just afford, everyone can't afford to go hoarding at Costco. So, you know, YKHC's been really great in the response to this and getting ahead of things. We just need to keep, you know, keep up with our social distancing, keep up with our hand hygiene. You know, everyone can't say it enough, but there are things we can do. Stay home as much as you can. You don't need to take the whole family to the store, especially, you know, I guess people want to get their kids out of the houses, but kids like to touch everything. You know, there's things we can all do without being mandated. And even if that's still ultimately what folks want, but we're all in control of ourselves. You know, we can make sure we're staying home as much as we can, and we're taking care of ourselves. So that's all for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. And let's go on over to Ms. Franco.
Thank you, Perry. I'll start with a quote from Franklin D. Roosevelt. But there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Personally, how I like to prevent myself from being fearful and scared in situations like this is by trying to stay as informed as possible. I know it can be really hard in this day and age with social media, Facebook, so many different media sources online. So I just wanted to point people in a few directions that I think are really helpful. KYUK has been doing a great job coordinating with YKHC and other community partners and giving updates about COVID-19 in Bethel and in Alaska and the YK Delta. Governor Dunleavy has been doing daily updates. The time has been changing, but as of now, those updates are at 6 p.m. Please listen to Dr. Zink and all the other medical providers. Please listen to all the medical providers at YKHC. They really are the subject matter experts in this situation, and they'll have the most accurate, up-to-date information on how to combat the spread of COVID-19 and how to keep yourself, your family, and the community safe. Also, please make sure to check out the CDC guidelines. Hopefully, most of you are aware of them at this time. I strongly
encourage and recommend no one be traveling unless they're deemed essential and need to travel under those regulations. Then additionally, I'd like to point out that it would be really, I think it's a great opportunity to, if you're not already doing things like paying bills online, this is a really great time to start doing that. I know not everyone has internet access, so GCI is offering internet access for those who don't already have it, and plan upgrades for those who do already have an internet plan. Please take advantage of those if you can. If you don't know how to, you know, reach out, ask for help. If you maybe aren't super great on the internet, maybe you don't know how to set up automatic bill payments, you know, reach out. I think, as we all know, Bethel is a really supportive community. They may not be able to be there in person, but, you know, a friend or a neighbor can talk to you over the phone, give you instructions on how to set these things up. Additionally, you know, just take care of yourselves and your family members. Remember to go on walks. You know, it can be really hard, especially if you live alone or if you just are used to a lot more social interactions. I know personally I've been going on a lot of walks. I've been starting to FaceTime or Zoom a lot of different friends. I've been using this time to write letters, you know, lots of different positive things that can be really uplifting. Another reminder, you know, a lot of restrictions have been lifted regarding telehealth. I'm not entirely sure what's going on at YK, but I believe there are opportunities to receive telehealth appointments. So if you're not feeling well, but you don't want to go to the hospital, you don't want to go put yourself at risk, call your provider and see if that's an option. I know there's also a lot of options for telehealth for behavioral health appointments. It can be really hard times. If you need a professional to talk to, I urge you to reach out. That's totally normal. I know I benefit a lot from talking to a therapist when I am going through emotions. And like I said, these are scary times. But Bethel's a great community. I've seen a lot of examples of everyone trying to help each other out, be as supportive and positive as possible during this time of unknown. So just keep pushing forward. That's really all we can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Lots of great recommendations. Ms. DeWitt?
Thank you, Mayor Barr. I would like to remind everyone that we have a special emergency council meeting tomorrow at 2 p.m. related to the emergency declaration issued today by Mayor Barr and Acting Manager Howell. So please look online at that document. It's at cityofbethel.org. We'll be discussing that tomorrow at 2 p.m. And I just want to say it's time for people to cease non-essential travel into the city. And if you come here or come back home, self-quarantine for the recommended period of 14 days. And for employers, please let your workforce stay at home and work from home as much as possible. And I include the City of Bethel in this. We have to make sure we don't have a large number of people sick at once. That would overwhelm our limited resources in this community. And I also want us to reduce impact as well on our neighboring communities where they have even more limited resources. So the care we take now is so important for what happens next. And I just ask for everyone to do their part. You know, we have the information. We are hearing these mandates from the governor. If you want to look online, the governor's mandates are at coronavirus.alaska.gov. Keep watching those mandates and complying with them as they come down so that we can, as Councilmember Springer said, flatten this curve so we can keep people as healthy for as long as possible and prevent overwhelming our response systems. And for those folks who have to go to work in fields that are considered critical infrastructure, first of all, thank you. but continue to wipe down surfaces and maintain distances, and let's put footprints down on floors and areas where people might congregate out of habit to remind them to keep those distances at, you know, cash registers and places like that. So maintain vigilance, and for folks who are monitoring council and our response to this issue, please stay tuned tomorrow at 2 p.m. for that special meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt, and the rest of the council. One of the things that I'd like to do is just publicly thank the council that exists today for really working hard to try and address these issues along with our administration. So the council has just been doing a fantastic job of being informed, keeping informed, as this is just changing by the hour. So thank you to the council. So let's move on to item number 13, executive session.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion to move into executive session in accordance with Alaska Statute 44.62.310(c)(1), matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the city, Haroldson Sub. Those in attendance would be City Council, City Manager, City Clerk, and City Attorney.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. There's a motion. There's a motion by Ms. Hansen. Do I have a second? I'm sorry, was that Ms. DeWitt?
No, Mayor Barr, that was not me.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Did I override a second to the motion?
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. So all those in favor of going into executive session indicate by saying aye. Or, I'm sorry, roll call.
Aye.
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 That sounded like rolling thunder. So it appears that we have a unanimous decision to go into executive session. Thank you, everybody. We are now in executive session. But before we do, does everybody would like to take a couple minutes to grab some water or use the potty?
Yes, sir.
Okay, to the council members connected, I am going to have to reconnect on a separate phone so that we don't have an audio feed. So bear with me as I adjust our audio here just a second.
This is Cece. I'm going to log off, hang up, and call back in like a minute, okay? Thanks, bye.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, what? Who is that?
Springer, Mark.
Sounds like Greg. Huh. Councilmember Springer, you're still connected? Councilmember Springer, you're still connected?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. Councilmember Franco.
I'm here.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Leary.
I'm here.
Councilmember DeWitt.
Here.
And I think that's everyone. Great.
I'm here.
Yep. Wonderful.
Okay, so we're out of executive session. Time now is 9:09 p.m. So I would, once we got out of executive session, I would entertain a motion as to the item that we have discussed.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Springer, please.
Yeah, I move that the city manager be directed to consider the matter of maintenance, limited maintenance of Haroldson Road, two
two residential properties and discuss that matter with the city attorney and to keep the residents of Harrelson Subdivision appraised of that process and report to the council as quickly as possible on what his findings are so that we can give further direction.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. That was quite a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that. Ms. Hanson.
I'm sorry. This is who?
Haley Hanson.
Thank you, Haley. Thank you, Ms. Hanson. Thank you for that second discussion. Mr. Springer, as you
make it. Mr. Mayor, the acting city manager made it clear that in the past he has had the interests of the couple of residents out there in mind, that there is access for emergency services out there, and there are questions that need to be determined as to the actual status of the plat, and those are fair questions on the city's part. However, I think it's important that the residents out there know that we are giving due consideration to their request for service, and we understand those needs, and we will figure it out.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. As a second to the motion, Ms. Hanson, would you like to provide some discussion?
Yeah, I just want to say that this isn't, I don't want this to be seen as some kind of brush off or, oh yeah, we'll talk about it or whatever. That, like, we actually do want to find a solution to this and make sure that what we're doing is following our code, is following being good humans, and because we really do care about, obviously, all the residents in this town and making sure everyone has the access they need, especially with emergency services, and also being able to get in and out off of their main roads there. And so I am personally making this my mission to see that we go through with it and get to the bottom of what's actually going on, what needs to happen, and trying to take those steps forward as soon as we know what they are. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. Further discussion by any of the other council members? Hearing none, I'm sorry, please go ahead.
I was waiting to see if anybody else was going to speak. This is Councilman Leary. I just wanted to say I'm in favor of finding a reasonable solution to this. All of our citizens do deserve access to emergency services. And if we used to maintain this, if all we're looking for is a minimal amount of attention paid to it, I look forward to seeing what our legal options are. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. I appreciate that. Any further comments from council members? Hearing none, I just one comment from me. I always believe in that we need to, again, as Ms. Hanson said, we need to take care of our citizens. And number two, we do the right thing for the right reasons at the right time. And I think this is the right time with this council to actually make sure that we are going to do this for the duration of this council, if it only goes that far. So thank you. All those in favor of said motion, indicate please by saying aye.
Aye.
I believe that was seven ayes and
six ayes.
And do we have a nay? Did we just lose someone?
There's only six of us.
Is that a question?
Yeah, there's only six of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's only six of us. So, motion passes 6-0. And the last thing. Thank you, Mr. Springer. There's motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
I'll second it. Hanson.
Seconded by Hanson. Thank you, everybody. Time now is about 9:15. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.